Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, October 5th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. A lot of important things being ignored by the mainstream media as usual that we're going to get into today. But I want to start off real quick with just a little note from the heart, something that's on my mind today in general. Right now, most of us in this field, whether it's independent media or however you want to look at it, are constantly being attacked as something that we're not, at least in the position of someone like me, calling me a racist, which I'm not, telling me that I hate certain kinds of people, which I have no hate in my heart for anyone, including all the people out there that are lost in the deception. It's staggering to me that we can be called this, despite our actions showing the exact opposite of what they claim we're doing, which is kind of weird how that aligns with foreign policy anyway. But I want to call on all of you out there, anybody watching this show, anybody that believes in the message that I bring to this show, and I'm not talking about the information we talk about, but the message that I want you to research for yourself. I want you to question me. I want you to come to your own conclusions. For those out there that believe in this, I want you to take it upon yourself to show these people that we are the opposite of what they say we are. I want you to take it upon yourself to do things for people in your life. Take it upon yourself to be the compassionate, empathetic person that I know you to be because you watch this show, because you believe that humanity around the world, regardless of where these people were born, have a right to life, have a right to self-determination. So take it upon yourself to embody what we constantly talk about on this channel, whether that's simply helping somebody with their groceries or paying for someone's coffee behind you or doing the small little things to just make someone a little bit happier in their day, a little bit more positive about where their life is going, can change more than you could possibly understand. So just think about that as we go forward and prove to these people that we're not these hate-filled, anti-Semitic racists that they want us to make, or Russian bots, or Assad apologists, or whatever they try to make it out to be. It could be, in fact, that I'm wrong about everything that I think, but everything that I think stems from compassion for humanity, compassion for people dying in U.S. illegal invasions and Israeli attacks and Saudi Arabian bombings. It comes back to compassion for people, as they tell us that we hate everyone. So just think about that. But there's a lot we're going to get into today, from alleged rockets being fired at Israel to massive protests in Iraq, and then how that ties in with so much else going on. I want to also point out that I'm not going to get into today some information that I'm seeing that I'm going to push off till tomorrow, which is about Saudi Arabia mulling a ceasefire, ending their bombing campaigns, which is amazing news, if indeed that's where it's going. And I think so, based off what we know, that they ultimately have lost this war. And their last flailing effort was to make it all about Iran, so the U.S. would get involved, and it didn't happen. So they know they've lost. And the U.S. sees that the Saudis can't accomplish this, and they clearly don't want to step in there in clear view and let everyone know that they've been the ones controlling this whole thing. So it may be that the Saudis are finding a way out, knowing that they're going to get left behind, sort of like the Kurds do and everyone else that the U.S. kind of uses in their agendas. But it may be the end of the illegal Yemen invasion, and that has to be some of the best news that I've ever heard. But we're going to wait and hope that it actually comes to pass. But let's start off with some of the breaking news coming out today that I'm not really seeing. I mean, I don't honestly see this stuff covered just about anywhere anymore. I mean, outside of Times of Israel and Haaretz and maybe a few outlets like South Front and some others, this kind of stuff just doesn't even get covered anymore. And that's sad to recognize that it's so normalized that these people are living in an open-air prison. So two rockets fired from Gaza, set off sirens, fall short of border fence. Again, you could literally make this the last 11 stories in a row, and that headline would be right. Which, the first thing that comes to my mind is, why would these people knowingly continue to do the thing that they is routinely shown to have no effect? And in fact, not only has no effect, but you in turn get bombed back disproportionately, without fail. And I can almost promise you that either right now or sometime between now and midday tomorrow, that we are likely going to see a disproportionate bombing campaign in Gaza, without any investigation about these rockets or where they came from or who fired them or any of it. It's just on Hamas. But if we don't, I'm going to personally take that as a good sign that maybe the slow removal of Netanyahu may be something good. Sadly, I don't think that's where it's going to go. I think that the people around, the other people involved in this election are likely just as bad. But just note that this is constantly what happens. Like, I keep making the joke that, oh, those, you know, open fields, enemy number one of the Hamas, to have the Hamas groups. I mean, it's every time it's either an open field or falls on their side, nothing happens. But here it continues to happen again, and without fail, they're immediately calling it on a Hamas attack. And understand, they say that even though they'll openly say we don't know for sure who fired it, but we, because we've said anything that happens here is on Hamas, now it's Hamas's fault. Of course, as I constantly point out, this logic doesn't apply to anyone else anywhere in the world. Any other person, any other conflict doesn't get to say that, except Israel, which is why we constantly point out that they have special treatment, Israel's government. Now, the IDF said that two projectiles were fired at Israel from the Gaza Strip late on Friday into the time. I always get confused on the time difference between where they are in the world and where we are in the world. But the claim that they ultimately fell short of the border fence, landing inside Hamas-held territory, which launched, they claim, the triggering the incoming rocket sirens, which, by the way, again, is the only real evidence that this even happened that I can see, that the alarm went off. Now, I'm not trying to say that I have any evidence to suggest that it was faked, but understand that it has been before. We know for a fact that they've lied about kites and balloons and rockets to be able to carry out some kind of attack. That's a fact. So we should at the very least be considering right now whether or not that's what we're looking at, based because we know they've lied to us. And we should do the same thing in reverse with anybody else, but it just doesn't happen in this case. And we immediately see aggressive actions that take the lives of innocent people based on this every time. Now, the incident came hours after, of course, and this is always the part that you don't really get to hear about if and when it's even briefly covered in the Western media, after a Palestinian man was killed during riots, they call them riots, along the Gaza-Israel border fence, according to Times of Israel. But the point is, these are protests. People that are fighting back against an oppressive force that has them locked in an open-air prison, controlling their water, controlling their electricity, controlling their every single move. But yes, they're in a democracy, and they're free to go anytime, except that they're not, right? And that's a riot, of course. Not them fighting back against what is their right to do so. Right, by the way, which is exactly what the early founders of Israel had openly said more than once, that these people were simply doing what anyone would do in this case, fighting back against people trying to take their territory. But we forget that stuff today. We now pretend that Palestine never existed. We now pretend that these people are all somehow terrorists. That child that was born today, yep, that's another terrorist. You see, all these things, they don't make any logical sense, but none of it ever does. They don't ask you to make logical sense of it. They just ask you to blindly follow what you're told. Their own history proves they're lying today. They just don't think you're smart enough to look into it. And of course, when you talk about it and point out what we're talking about, they'll call you a racist, and that tends to scare most people away from the conversation. Now, Ala Hamdan, 28 years old, was shot in the chest by IDF soldiers. Live fire, right? How many times do we point this out? We're talking about people on the side of a massive fence with barbed wire behind bunkers of dirt with sniper rifles, and now not a single person has ever been harmed on that side of the fence in regard to these protests. And hundreds of people have been killed on this side. Imagine if that was happening in any other situation in the world. You know what would happen, especially if it was a U.S. adversary. I mean, just say for sake of conversation, this was in reverse. Let's say it was it was Hamas on the other side of that fence, and it was IDF soldiers trying to rush up against it, and they were shooting them down without fail, and nobody was harmed on their side. Do you think that they would be calling the IDF terrorists? Of course they wouldn't. And that's apparent based on how they've conducted themselves thus far. If you can't acknowledge that contradiction, then you're choosing to accept a lie because you just are more comfortable with it, and own that if that's the case. Now, five other demonstrators were wounded by gunfire as well, which is a regular occurrence in these protests. Around 6,000 Palestinians took part in the day's protests, despite the very real possibility of being shot dead every single time they go out there. And not just the people they try to pretend were throwing things and I have no doubt there were people throwing things and setting tires on fire because they have someone's boot on their neck.
But understand that how many times, I mean, off the top of my head, at least five times I've shown video of people standing with their arms in the air getting shot, children, by IDF soldiers from behind a fence with barbed wire and snipers, shooting a child dead in the middle of their show. Every time they go out there, they know that they may get shot, and they go anyway. Talk about courage. But of course, they're all terrorists. That's what they want you to think. Now, an explosive device was also detonated near an IDF position in the town of Bayat Umar in the West Bank on Friday evening, according to the military. Now, a second device they claimed was discovered at the army post and was neutralized by their group. Now, there were no reports of any injuries in the primary explosion, but there was damage to the military structure. Now, I don't actually see this could be something completely sporadic. It could be completely unrelated. However, I found it interesting, the timing of it all, with the rockets and the bomb, and we're seeing plenty more happen, because we're also seeing shelling seemingly taking place in Baghdad. Right at the same time, generally, the timing to me is certainly very interesting at the very least. As we have breaking news, and this is just before, during the protests, and up in the last couple hours, I've suddenly seen breaking news about shelling happening in Baghdad, which it's hard to imagine that that's somehow involved in the protests. I mean, think about it. It could be. Which would suggest that there's some other foreign power that's either backing the protesters or backing something. But this is escalating in a very weird way, and I think it's interesting to recognize, as I've constantly pointed out, that in my opinion, there is very clearly a secondary factor here. And based on the way it's been playing out, something's telling me that it's not necessarily the U.S. agenda. Now, as you can see here, Sky News Arabia is reporting that dozens of unidentified shells have fallen on Sadr City in Baghdad, which is like just outside of Baghdad. And there's more than one report on this. It's been popping up since just like up until I went live. This is a journalist pointing out that multiple blasts were heard in the same area. And there's another one just saying moments ago, multiple blasts heard, the same location. At least 20 apparently were injured and killed. Now, I mean, really, no matter how you spin this, I do think there's some connection here with everything that's going on. I mean, everything. I mean, look, right now we have protests. I even saw protests. There's an Ecuadorian protest now. There's protests everywhere. People are protesting against corruption. They're protesting against the corrupt establishment governments that kind of seemingly overarch national borders. And that's interesting to think about. That's exactly what the yellow vests were talking about. Something is going on here, and they're suppressing all of the massive protests around the world that they just don't want you to see. And weirdly enough, they don't seem to be talking about Iraq at all, which suggests to me that there's some cross purposes here, at the very least. But no matter how you spin this thing, and this is what I was thinking about today, because I truly believe that there's some weird manipulation going on in these protests, which it's hard to believe that there's not always some kind of agenda going on behind the scenes. A government sees a protest, and they think, oh, we can use that somehow. But no matter how you spin this, whether you think the U.S. is making this happen or not involved or whoever, it's bad for the U.S. government, no matter how you look at it. As this is their created government in Iraq that's right now shooting protesters in the head, or so the reports and the videos are showing. But no matter how they spin it, this is a government, a country that the U.S. government illegally invaded, overthrew their government, toppled their structure, threw it into chaos. As they'll continue to report, things are worse than ever. There's more terrorism than ever. The government now is saying, well, you now need to leave, even though you created us. And this all rips out. And no matter how you look at it, it makes the U.S. government look bad simply for letting it happen, being involved. So in my view now, looking at the way it's played out, it might be that this is entirely the creation specifically of Mossad, of Israel's government, which we know are in Iraq. Now, that's just the other logical conclusion. I don't see any specific evidence that Israel made this happen, but we know that they're there. We proved that they were there using U.S. passports. We know that they've been bombing Iraqi locations from within Iraq from U.S. bases. So it seems entirely likely that this is some kind of secondary operation to force the U.S.'s hand in regard to Iran, because we know it stems back to Israel's greater project. Not just the greater Israel project, but just all the other things they have going on. So think about that and how this is playing out. And now the protest itself is truly getting, I mean, this is becoming a massive, massive protest. Seemingly one of the biggest ones going on right now that has apparently ripped all the way across Iraq. Nearly 100 protesters dead as calls grow for Iraqi government to resign, which is interesting now. Now we have the calls for the government to resign that the U.S. is backing while they're still in the country. Well, that government is calling for the U.S. to leave. Now, some measure of this is likely manipulation, is likely not true at all, whether it's that the government doesn't want the U.S. to leave at all, and that's all a big show, or that the protesters, I mean, there's some level of this that's dishonest. Because there's far too many hands in this pot with people with cross purposes to for someone not to be driving this thing. And again, there's plenty of evidence to support that. Not proof, but plenty of evidence and data points to suggest that there are people driving this thing. Now, 5 days of protest in Iraq, which is quickly already out of control. The government is rapidly losing control of the situation. Police are opening fire on public protesters, and apparently curfews are all across the country, while essentially being ignored by all the protesters running around the country. I found it interesting as well. And again, this is why I find this bad as it looks for the U.S. government, regardless of how they're involved in this. Because now we have the Iraqi government shutting down internet. Like, this is like martial law across the country. While understand, as we're always pointing out, if this was happening in Venezuela, you know how this would be spun. They tried to spin it the same way. But you don't see people right now calling this out, at least not in the mainstream media, not in the way they were against Venezuela. Now, I was going to show you how it was literally nowhere on the mainstream pages. But I think you already know that. And even when you go to the world-specific page of, say, Fox News and search for Iraq, it's like the very, very, very bottom thing after like 7 scrolls to get to something at the world page, Iraq at the bottom. Even though it's like the massive protest, the largest protest going on right now. But of course, to me, that suggests that they just don't want you talking about it. But they want you to know, they want to be able to point to that later and say, well, look, we did talk about it. But we just made sure it was very, very, very ignored, basically. It's how it comes down. And apparently Saudi and Kurdish TV stations and all of this were being stormed as well, which might show us something. Now, it could just be that they happened, who knows what the motivations were. But understand, we're talking about Saudis and Kurds who are very clearly linked with a larger agenda in all of this, in Syria and Iran, backed by the U.S. and plenty of things going on. The Kurdish in general have a clear tie to Israel in general. So all of this seems tied, and maybe we're looking at a genuine grouping of people who recognize that the Iraqi government had no intention of kicking the U.S. out, like they were saying. And just want and then recognize that the Saudis and the Kurds and everybody are continuing to occupy their country. So maybe that's why they raided these TV stations. Now, that's just my take on it. Now, death tolls continue to rise, with apparently some reports showing it over 100 now. An anti-corruption protest sweeping, and calls from prominent figures, understand, including religious leader Muqtada al-Sadr, or Sutter, for the government to immediately resign. So from top to bottom, understand. Now, Sadar, I'm probably mispronouncing his name. It's S-A-D-R. Sadar, whose faction is already one of the most politically powerful, says that the entire government should resign right now and prepare for early elections, guess what, with international monitors invited to oversee things. Which doesn't really sound like some kind of military coup, does it? But understand that these international elections mean nothing if the U.S. doesn't have its fingers in control of it. Just like we saw with Venezuela, where we had like 30 international monitors, including people that were tied back to the U.S. government, that said it was one of the most legitimate elections they'd ever seen. And they just said, we disagree. But they weren't even there. That is how they do this. But these people are literally calling for the entire government to resign, which will never happen, and for elections immediately with international monitors involved, which in my take, unless that's all a lie, seems to make them seem a little bit more legitimate. Now, Sadar has also called for the resignation of the of multiple individual government officials and called on his specific Syrian parliamentary group, it's the name of his group, which is the largest group in parliament, by the way, to suspend its activity. So basically shutting down his little section. And on Friday, the National Axis Alliance, the largest Sunni parliamentary bloc, also announced the suspension of its parliamentary activities in response to the protests. But I find it interesting that it's a Sunni parliamentary bloc, seeing as how Sunni is, that's the Wahhabi connection. Shiites, Shia is what Iranian ties are. So it's weird to see that this part, which just shows you that at least in this case, the Sunni parliamentary group in this area is clearly just a part of Iraq. They don't see their tie religiously more important than their tie of where they're from and their government. But you see, that's the opposite when it comes to people like the Saudis and Israel and the people they're trying to make it about, which I'll get to in a moment, is the idea of this religious aspect that they pretend other people are doing, which is clearly seemingly predominantly coming from their group. Now, Prime Minister Adil Abdul Mahdi doesn't seem to be on board for that. The current prime minister, of course, he doesn't want to lose power. And he's once again, of course, just reiterating his calls for protesters to obey the curfew, like that's going to work, and promised that political reform was coming. But of course, he's been promising that reform basically since the moment he was elected. And the lack of delivery on that is clearly a reason why these protests are growing. And indeed, one of the main images I continue to see circulated, or videos. Now, I haven't been able to personally verify that this is, in fact, the protest taking place in Iraq. But I've seen some other, this is a massive protest. And as far as I can tell, this is legitimate, but please let me know if you find out one way or the other on this. But overall, we have all reports from all directions saying that these protests are unbelievably large. And that, to me, is quite, think about this kind of thing and how it's not being reported on. Even in passing, has to show you something. Same way they don't want to cover the Yellow Vest protest. Now, again, the same thing to understand with all of these is, if that being the case, it doesn't mean that there's not some manipulation going on. It also doesn't mean that there's not some organic aspect to the protest. There's usually both involved here. It's up to us to decide how far one goes or the other. Now, Iraq is right now ranked the world's 12th most corrupt country, according to Transparency International's Corruption Perceptions Index. Now, according to official figures, since 2004, and this is what the people are upset about right now. This is why these people are very, very unhappy. That since 2004, almost $450 billion of public funds have just vanished into the pockets of politicians and businessmen. What does that remind you of? I don't know, maybe the $21 trillion that are just unaccounted for? Right, but we're not the corrupt ones, right? We don't care that we're missing $21 trillion, but we talk about far less funds for being far more important when we talk about Venezuela or Syria. I mean, it's just how many examples of hypocrisy we need, I have no idea. Double standards that are screaming everywhere, it's unbelievable. But since 2004, almost half $1 trillion, understand, of public funds just vanished into the people that the U.S. government has been backing. That also sounds like, you know, the kind of person they wanted to put in place of Venezuela and basically any other person they've been supporting around the world. People like, you know, Sisi in Egypt, who's right now under massive protest for, guess what? Corruption and stealing funds. You think that's just coincidence, or maybe there's some kind of an alignment with the mentality of the people they put in power? Just maybe. You know, just ignore the decades of history that show you exactly that, but I'm crazy. Now, in addition, youth unemployment in Iraq is running at about 25%. Now, this is according to the World Bank, and this is a country where the vast majority of the population is under 30. Think about that. And would you really want to know why it's under 30? I mean, understand, it's all having to do with the illegal invasion and destruction of their country. You know, the indiscriminate bombing of places like Raqqa or the Fallujah with the depleted uranium. And just all these people are just, that's why their population is predominantly under 30. But we don't talk about stuff like that, right? Because we are not the bad guys, right? When I say we, I'm hypothetically speaking as the U.S. government, because I have nothing to do with that stuff. I have been in disagreement with it since the moment I heard about it. But I'm hoping to get enough people on board to be able to collectively speak out to the world and say, we don't agree with this. And that, my friends, would actually change something. What? Hard to say. But it would change something. Now, there was also a report from Middle East Eye that quoted an activist taking part in the protest. And here's where I get into the side that suggests to me that there are some people in here still trying to drive this in their own direction. And I would say this also suggests far more that it might be a Israel-tied Mossad aspect that we know is present in the country. But they reported that there was an activist taking part that then reported to them, so secondhand already, how masked people killed two of his friends by storming into their house. Now, I'm not suggesting it's not true. We have no idea whether it could be true or not. But the reason that I'm skeptical is that, first of all, they said that happened just for protesting, which is likely in the things that we're seeing. But then, totally unsolicited, he added, very suspiciously, that he thought that they were Iran-backed militias that did it. But then, of course, immediately followed that up by saying, but the identities of the killers are completely unknown. Because that all makes sense, right? In the situation we're talking about, where you've got Iraqi government figures murdering people, you've got Israeli forces running around the country, you've got U.S. forces running around the country, and you've got protesters fighting against the U.S.-backed government. Sure, and that makes sense that the Iran militias will just run in and murder protesters. Because that makes sense. It's certainly possible. And maybe there's an agenda that I don't see. And I'm open to that. But understand that every time you see these things, you need to take a note on it and be like, why does that make sense? Why would this activist suddenly point to Iran, especially knowing that this country, the people of the country, have a far more religious, ideological tie with Iran than anybody else are talking about? But of course, it's Iran militias did it, just because that's my opinion. But we have no idea who it is, by the way. That screams of some kind of manipulation, especially coming from the Middle East eye, which I don't have a very high opinion of, but there's more to this story. And of course, we'll continue to get into this. But the bottom line is that it's a massive protest. People are dying, no matter how you look at it. And of course, the mainstream media could care less until they're told they're supposed to cover it, right? Where I look on the front, and you understand, when I was looking through the Fox News page I was talking about, which I was thinking about showing you, way at the bottom is Iraq and this massive protest. Guess the two things above it were about The Walking Dead, because that's more important than people dying in Iraq being shot in the face by a U.S.-backed government. Clearly, there's some kind of agenda taking place here. And no matter how you look at it, this is happening because of U.S. and Israeli and Saudi Arabian agenda, stemming all the way back to the illegal invasion of Iraq that we never should have done to begin with, that we all know. We were lied to about WMDs. Half a million children died. Millions of people died in general. It's still continuing on. And now it's even worse than ever. So is Afghanistan. And yeah, who's the bad guy again? What was this supposed to accomplish? What was this in any way? How was this in any way good for the American people? I mean, we should be asking these questions. And all they're doing is just doubling down. That is the reality. And just to make the point very clear, again, this is not an isolated issue, people. Every single place that the U.S. government has liberated is far, far worse than before they illegally invaded the country. And of course, this is, you could say, oh, this guy hates America, that's why he's saying that. Or you could recognize that it's the 100% unvarnished truth verified by the facts. Whatever. Either way you want to go, it's all good, right? Who cares about the facts? Call me a hater. Which is what most people would do. But the reality is, the history is there. The facts are there. And again, as I always point out, you could continue to say, well, they sure tried to do good, but they failed every single time. And then I would immediately tell you that you're kind of ridiculous for assuming that they always tried and always got the same opposite result. But who knows? People believe anything these days. But Afghanistan is one of the best, worst examples, however you look at it, of this scenario. According to the UN, understand, again, and this is what I keep pointing out, meaning that, you know, everyone basically generally agrees that this is happening, and except the Israel, U.S., and Saudi axis won't let anybody do anything about it. That's the truth of our reality today. Violence against children in Afghanistan up sharply. Hooray! Another 20-year-long illegal occupation that's worse now than it's ever been. Success, liberation, freedom, liberty. I mean, we can just say all the words. Does that make it okay? Clearly not. Now, from 2015 to 2018, a United Nations team studying the plight of children in the U.S.-occupied Afghanistan documented 14,202 grave violations against the United States occupation throughout the country. This is according to the report published this week by the Office of Secretary General Antonio Guterres of the United Nations. It says, quote, of serious concern, the killing and maiming of 12,599 children was verified. Let me just, in case you missed that, let me say that again. The killing and maiming, and this is from the Secretary General of the United Nations about the U.S. occupation in Afghanistan. The killing and maiming of 12,599 children was verified, representing almost a third of all civilian casualties and an increase of 82% in child casualties compared with the previous 4 years. And I would add, of the illegal U.S. occupation, which is what he's talking about. And of course, and the report even says the extent of these violations is probably even greater than what we're talking about. And of course, they just wouldn't add that that's because they know that they constantly lie about it. They constantly hide information. They constantly obfuscate the reality. And don't forget that we just covered both that, according to recent reports, Afghanistan is the most deadly war in the world right now, with 76 dying a day, mostly civilians, as well as the fact that the UN has only called out the US coalition for being responsible for the vast majority of civilian deaths in this location. Of course, they're predominantly pointing to the Saudi arm of the US coalition, but that's the US coalition. You can call it the Saudi-led coalition if it makes you feel better, but guess who's in the Saudi-led coalition? The United States government. The reality is that they're involved in killing people more than anywhere else in the world right now in Afghanistan. That's pretty damn hard to misunderstand. Show me where Iran's doing that right now. Show me where Assad's doing that right now. Show me where Maduro is doing that right now. Sure, you could probably find things they're doing that are wrong and illegal and immoral even. But just show me where that's happening anywhere else in the world that's connected to anybody else. I'll wait. I think we know that you won't find it anywhere else. How is that not something we can come to terms with? Of course, well, you know, they were trying to do good. They just killed the most people in the world. Whoops. It's crazy. And of course, what happened after that? What happened after the UN said, look, you're killing more people than anyone else? Did they apologize? Did they end the war? Did they start an investigation? Nope. None of that. They did what they always do. Absolutely nothing. Well, I take that back, actually. They attacked the groups that called them out. They attacked them as anti-Semitic or biased or whatever they wanted to use to minimize their opinion and then increased their efforts that they were just told were verifiably killing lots of children in Afghanistan. Because that makes sense, right? You double down, triple down, as it were, in regard to Donald Trump in a place where you were just told you're killing the predominant amount of children. These are things that we need to come to grips with as Americans, and we're simply avoiding them because it's not fun to talk about. And because people will call someone like me pointing to the truth un-American, despite the fact that this is our government doing this. And we can't deny that. So you're choosing to ignore the fact that your government is murdering people in your name with your tax dollars, and I'm the one that hates America? I'm the one fighting for America. I'm the one fighting for this country against a corrupt institution. But I digress. Since we're talking about the many nations here that have been destroyed due to U.S. government intervention, of course, we can't forget Syria. And just as I said from the start, the U.S. government never intended to leave Syria. That was never the plan. And apparently now it's our fault for misunderstanding what Donald Trump said, according to U.S. Special Envoy on Syria, James Jeffries. It's our fault. We misunderstood. Not that they were never going to leave. We just didn't really understand what Trump was saying. That's what we're being told now. Now, an interview with Germany's DW, U.S. Special Envoy on Syria, James Jeffrey, defended Donald Trump's declaration of victory over ISIS earlier this year and argued that people who thought he was going to end the war or withdraw from Syria literally, quote, simply misunderstood. Talk about gaslighting. Like, we're just not bright enough to understand. It's okay. Pat on the head. You just misunderstood. Condescending much. Now, Jeffrey conceded, of course, that there was confusion around the announcement. Yeah, we're just all confused. Saying even some within the administration misunderstood. So even his own people, they mistakenly took that we're leaving Syria for meaning that, you know, we're leaving Syria. Our bad. We misunderstood. At the same time, he said Trump's statement was clear and, quote, close to the truth. That's literally what he said, compared to other statements by victorious political leaders, is what he said. I have to point out. So he says that Trump was never intending to leave Syria, right? That's not what he said. You just misunderstood. And then follows that up by saying, but what he said was, you know, was close to the truth. So was he telling us the truth? Was he lying about them? I mean, what is he talking about? He contradicts himself the very next sentence, which is what they do all too often. Maybe it's to confuse. Maybe it's to make sure they play all sides so they can say, no, you misunderstood that. I was saying this, right? It's like constant. It's ridiculous. Close to the truth means not the truth. I shouldn't have to point that out. Now, Jeffrey also suggested that the Inspector General's statement on the ISIS war was mistaken. Right? So everyone's mistaken. What's happening now is what we meant all along. Don't forget about what we said before. What we meant is this now, right? That's what he's saying. And he added that they, quote, would not ever deliberately put out false statements, which is just the stupidest thing I've ever heard, when they're constantly doing that. I mean, who really thinks that the government would never lie to you? I mean, there's jokes about this. I mean, what's the old joke about Paul? How do you know a politician's lying? His lips are moving. Ha ha ha. We know this stuff subconsciously. We know that they're constantly lying to us. Some people tell themselves it's for national security or whatever, but they're lying to you. And he just stood up and said that they would never deliberately put out false statements. That is a deliberate false statement. But then he said, but they often put out inaccurate statements based on misrepresentation of one-sided information. I mean, can you believe? So he just said that because we're not good at our jobs, because we get half information that we don't do our due diligence on, we make a mistake, is what he said. That they often, or they, however he's putting it, they often put out inaccurate statements based on misrepresentations of one-sided information. So they get a leak from somebody, they don't check it, they run with the story, or they talk about it, or they put out the information, and they make a mistake, is what he just said. Or they lie to you, which is also what happens all the time. Either way, that's pretty damn embarrassing to come from your own officials. Just being honest. Now, Trump had been pretty clear about there being a pullout of Syria. We all know that. We all talked about it. His fans were screaming from the rooftops about how he's going to succeed in another promise and get us out of Syria. We told you, we told you, we told you. We all heard it. And he even defended it numerous times. You heard it as well. Before eventually backing down and claiming he was going to stay all along. Though Jeffrey's narrative is that continuing the war was, again, the plan from the very beginning, and that's what Trump actually said, and we just misunderstood. Despite the fact, you know, now that I should have brought up one of his comments, I don't know why I didn't think about that, to play it for you right now and be like, look at what he just said. You can do it right now. You can search it online. You'll find about 1,000 times that he said, we're leaving Syria. And remember the comment where he said, oh, to all the families, you're going to get your husbands and your wives back home. And none of that's obviously about leaving Syria. So this person is flagrantly lying to you and then lying about a statement about never lying. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Jeffrey's narrative, though, is always that, of course, that we were never going to leave Syria, or that we were all, that the plan was to be there all along. Except the fact that that inherently contradicts what the U.S. policy has always been. I mean, really, again, think about that he's saying that the plan was to never leave. Except that that's what they've been saying for years was always the plan. I mean, you can't take a step in one direction today without contradicting a previous lie. And I think we're beginning to see that. This is what happens when you lie about everything. It just doesn't fit in with what U.S. officials have been always saying about this. Because he's lying. But despite his pretty damn weak attempt to gaslight us, it's very clear that we were lied to, just like every other time before this. They never planned on leaving. Ever. That's my opinion based on all the information we see. And it was always about doing it for Israel. As even Trump has openly stated, more than once, by the way, that, quote, we need to stay in Syria to protect Israel. That's a direct quote from Donald Trump. But of course, just simply suggesting that they're doing it for Israel makes me an anti-Semite racist, despite the fact that Trump said it verbatim. But I'm a racist. I mean, we just as Tulsi Gabbard said about the troop deployment to Saudi Arabia, this is sending Americans to risk their lives for a foreign power. Whether you're talking about Saudi Arabia or conducting this foreign policy on behalf of Israel. But it should be very clear to you by now, if you're paying attention, that is, that American interests, they come second to Israeli government agendas. As Global Research rightly points out, from WikiLeaks and the Clinton emails, of all things, and this, it's important to remember that these WikiLeaks emails have never been proven false. And for some of you, you likely heard this before, but for some of you, this is going to be a shock, most likely. This is a direct quote from WikiLeaks emails, from the Clinton emails. And it says, "The best way to help Israel is to help the rebellion in Syria that has now lasted for more than a year." And this is from 2011. "How?" she says. This is Hillary Clinton. "By mounting the case that the use of force is the sine qua non, an essential condition, to make Assad fold, so as to endanger his life and that of his family." And Clinton concludes saying, "Wrecking Assad would not only be a huge advantage for the security of the state of Israel, but would also go a long way to reducing Israel's justifiable fear that it will lose its nuclear monopoly." Really take that in. A country that pretends it doesn't have any nuclear weapons, a country that has a special deal with the U.S. government where it gets to sign a special statement that says that the U.S. will never force it to admit that it has nuclear weapons, despite the fact that it stole that technology from the United States government long ago. That's been proven. And then it continues to stress that all other countries in the Middle East need to never have them or get rid of them. And here we have in an email from Hillary Clinton acknowledging that the illegal invasion of Syria benefits Israel more than anyone. And in fact, removing Assad goes a long way for reducing their fear of losing that monopoly. You know, the monopoly that everyone criticizes, Iran, even Turkey, constantly pointing it out. That nuclear monopoly that doesn't exist. You know, the effort by Israel to stop these countries from getting those nuclear weapons, so because it'll lose their advantage. Not because Iran actually is dangerous to them or because they're actually seeking one, but because they need to stop anybody else because they want that nuclear monopoly. As WikiLeaks and Clinton's emails literally tell us. I mean, this contradicts everything they say is going on in their policy. That they're in Syria to fight terrorism, that they're trying to get Assad out because he's a bad guy. No, this is about the Greater Israel Project. This is about the policy that they have lined out, that Wesley Clark has said, these countries have been planned to be toppled. And she'll even openly admit that it's because it benefits Israel, specifically about deals they have with the Israeli government that no one else is supposed to know about, that's basically illegal. That's the reality. And of course, while they lied to the American people and the world about what they were really trying to accomplish with the war on terror or war of terror, the actual terrorist threat, in fact, grew exponentially. Because they, you know, because that's what's called fighting terrorism, right? As you can see, there are nearly four times as many Salafi jihadist militants around the world today than before 9/11. Of course, Salafi being Sunni, which is the core ideology of most terrorism today. You may be asking yourself, but how does that make sense? That's a good question. It's a good question. The core ideology of most terrorism today, which is also the ideology of the Saudi royal family. Again, how does that make sense? That's a good question. In fact, they have their own special extremist brand of Sunni. It's called Wahhabism. Tulsi Gabbard's also talked about that. I've talked about it for years. And this is the ideology of the most nefarious groups out there today. You know, the very groups, in fact, that the U.S. government claims to be fighting right now. You know, it's odd, though, that they'd be working side by side with the Saudis with the same ideology then, right? Yeah. Well, only if you actually think that they're fighting them, right? And as they still, to this day, make it specifically about Shiites. About Shia, about Iran. That's what it comes down to. Shiites being the predominant religion in Iran. They make it specifically about that when discussing the issue, banking on the fact that you do not know enough about the topic to realize that everything they're pointing to is in fact Sunni terrorism. So the obvious deception aside here, they are literally waging a religious war for Israel and attacking people based on their religious beliefs, even as Trump is hypocritically claiming to champion religious freedom while supporting two of the most oppressive religious states in the world. Recognize again what this study is saying. This study, recognize what it's showing you here. It is not saying Shia jihadists have quadrupled. It is saying Sunni or Saudi-linked jihadists have quadrupled. This is a war being waged with American lives and American tax dollars for the benefit of a foreign power. And no, it's not Russia. And likely you know that because you're watching this show. But thank you for being here today, and please help me get this in front of people that need to see it. Please help me wake up people to this very, very obvious reality. Because it's all right there, and the information, that's what, this is all it takes. They, as I constantly point out, they bank on the fact that you as an individual will not take your time, take the time to go into the links that I've provided. Research the information and recognize that I'm not making this stuff up, that the facts are all there. And in fact, the predominant portion of the world agrees with them, which is why the UN continues to condemn Israel's actions and continues to condemn illegal occupations and everything we're talking about. Because collectively, the people in these countries, people like the president of Bolivia and people that have constantly spoken out about this stuff, they see it. And of course, we have the Israeli and U.S. influence over the UN, which stops anything from happening. But we see it. The world sees it. And all we need is to get the rest of them on board to see that they're being manipulated. And I leave it to you to help me spread that message. And if you'd like to support this channel, of course, there's plenty of links in the show notes to do so, because this channel doesn't exist without you. 100% people funded it. And I argue, some might say that. Very few would mean it, and there's very few out there that are actually doing that. And I don't hate on anyone that has advertisers or anything else. I just personally feel like I don't want even the slightest chance that I'm going to have my message influenced by somebody else's opinion. It's all about what I think is most important to you. And I promise you it will always be the case. I love you guys for being here, and please, please question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.